Are you all set? Are you on?
Yes, I think so. Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Does anyone have a testimony, short testimony that you want to share? No one? Nothing's happening? God's not doing anything. Okay. You have a little one? Can you talk loud?
Yeah, it's helpful. No, I'm happy because I just met, I'm privileged to take care of a woman. She's a Copec High School teacher for a long time, and she retired, so I'm able to have a position to manage her care with a team of three of us. And God is good because this is a way that we can witness to her.
Very good. Praise God. Glory to God. A short one?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's great. That's great. That's great. That's great. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Anyone else? Okay. Yes.
I remember last year this time, Mark, Thanksgiving, we were in the hospital and blowing such a hard time, blood transfusions, and I just remember walking in the city. Everything was so holiday and festive, and then you walk into the clone and just...
Yes. Oh, yes.
Eye-opening.
Amen. Amen. And I'm sure you're praying because you've been there and you've seen it and you felt it. You lived it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. We have to remember to give Him glory and honor and thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
If someone else had a short praise, a short testimony, just put your hand up. Okay. I didn't want to leave anybody out. I wanted to talk today, God put on my heart, and we can, as pastors, we can start speaking about anything in the Word of God, but I love when God just kind of comes down on me, and then, like, I want to cry, but I don't know why, but I know that He's going to start speaking to me, and that's what I love. You know, He's been just doing that so much, and I can go before You and say, you know, this is the heart of God. So I wanted to talk about entering into God's rest. Because God is calling us to enter into His rest. And it is a place of provision. It is a safe place. And to live there. You know, I remember in 2008 when I had breast cancer. And how that hit me, you know, so strong. Like I went for as we women go for our tests, and I knew something was wrong because they kept calling me back in, taking more pictures. I'd go and sit down, and they would take more pictures and more pictures, and I said, I'm in trouble, you know. And so then called me into an office, and a doctor came in, and she said, this is cancer. She said, there's no doubt about it. She said, I have your doctor on the phone, my GP doctor. And so she said, put me in a little booth, and my doctor got on the phone. And it was like just hitting me. You know, yesterday was fine. What happened? And you know that I'm all fine. I did have surgery. But God at that time, going all the way back to 2008, He said to me, when you start to worry, because I would panic once in a while, and you're outside of the safe place, because there's a safe place there's a dwelling place, and you're outside of the safe place. And that's what I learned. And I learned when I came out of that safe place, and my mind would start to wander. And I knew when I was in that safe place that God was with me, and we're going to get through this. You know what I'm trying to say? So there's a safe place, and we always have to be in that place. There's other things going on in people's lives, and especially we're affected by things our children go through or our grandchildren go through and all that kind of stuff. But we have to keep our minds in the safe place. Our mind is stayed on you, and that's where our peace comes from. So I remember at that time, many years ago now, getting like scared, you know. I would pray and I would connect with God in the morning, and then I would go about doing some things, and like this reality, fear would come on me. And then I would get back into that place again. You know what I'm saying? I was in and out of that place. But I really believe that this is the time, this is the hour that God is calling us into a safe place, and for us to make that our home, to make that our habitation, to walk in this safe place where our mind, our whole body, with the presence of God, and knowing that through it all, God is so good and He's with us. And to stay in that place. You know, sometimes you could be cleaning the house or driving the car, going to work, and all of a sudden a thought comes on you and you start to worry. And especially if it has to do with a loved one, you know, you start like, all of a sudden you get that. Get into that safe place, because that's where your power is. That's where prayers become anointed. But if we're praying in a place of fear, I don't think so. I don't think it's shooting through those clouds and getting to the throne room. Because God wants us to be strong, and He wants us to move out of that safe place. So, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that You would speak, Lord, that You would show us, Father, what's on Your heart. Father, that You would make that place, Lord God, so real to us, Lord God, in such a strong way, such clarity, that I want to dwell in the safe place of God, of the Lord. And I want to learn how to enter into His rest. Now, when I just told you in 2008 what happened, and what would happen to me is I would lose that sense of resting in God. And I believe that God is calling the church, like I said, it's so clear to me, to come into the resting place. The resting place. And everything that we're going through helps us get there if we're aware of it. And we abide. We say, okay, God, we've got this. We've got this. You know what I'm trying to say? Because God is preparing us to be shining lights in a dark, dark world, especially for the future. We're going to shine. They're going to see something on us without us even opening our mouths and saying, like, whatever it is, I know it's good. Whatever it is, I know I need that. So if you would turn to Psalm 91. Okay. You see, the safe place is your secret place, right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That tells me there is a secret place, and darkness doesn't know our secret. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. I remember a time that I remember a time not just when I had the breast cancer, which created panic at times, but I remember another time. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and I had a horrific dream about one of my sons. Horrific. I woke up. I looked at the clock. It was 2 o'clock. And I believe I got out of bed and got on my knees. And I was sleeping in another room. I wasn't sleeping with my husband. Not that we weren't, you know, getting along, but I couldn't take the snoring. So, but I woke up. I had this terrible dream, and I woke up. And I prayed, because I knew this was not just a dream. It was like going from black and white to color. I knew this was real. And I prayed and prayed. And when I felt a little peace, I went back to bed. In the morning, I said, Eugene, I said, I had a terrible dream. It was so bad. And I told him what it was. He said, he looked at me and he said, I had the same dream. The same exact dream at 2 o'clock. So the why I'm saying that, do you remember that? The reason why, it was a long, long time ago, I'm saying that is when I remember waking up and I remember getting on the floor and I remember I started crying out. I started praying. But I was so nervous and fear gripped me. And I wasn't breaking through. And I kept like pushing into him and crying out to God. And I said, you woke me up. You did this. And as I found a resting place in the Lord, so I knew it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because he brought me all of a sudden into a resting place. And I knew that I knew. And then I got the confirmation the next day. He said, I woke up at 2 o'clock. And I was praying. I had a dream. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. And you know, I feel like God is starting to stir that pot of awakening. You know, realizing who we are and how much God wants to use us. He's stirring the pot inside of us because we know we have been called for such a time as this. As this. You end time people, how precious and how powerful each one of you are. Now, if you look at in Psalm 91, it says, verse 9, it says, you know, like God is going to come through and 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Verse 9 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. And that's what I want to talk about, the dwelling place. Dwelling with the Lord, in the Lord. There's a dwelling place, and it takes us out of that nervous place. It takes us out of that worry, because I'm dwelling with the Lord, the God Most High, the King of Kings, the one who has everything in control. Into his rest, and he's saying that to us, come into my rest. I have prepared a resting place for you. As I was on that cross being tortured, that place was being prepared for you. The word in 91 said, he set his love upon me. And the Bible says, everyone who is heavy laden, come unto me. Heavy laden, I will give you what? rest. Rest. Are we really resting in the Lord? Day to day, moment by moment, thought by thought, resting in the Lord. That's when we are abiding in Him. And in that place, when we find that resting place, the enemy can't touch us. The enemy can't get near us because it's holy ground. And he runs like a scaredy cat. Meow! And runs. Because it's a holy place. And you know how a cat will all of a sudden like curve its back and all the hair will stand up? That's what Satan does when he comes near holiness. Oh boy. When we are able in him, we will be protected. When we abide in him, abide in that resting place, there is where our protection is. I remember twice this happened to me. I was talking to the Lord. I was behind the wheel in the car, and I was talking to God, you know, praying or worshiping. I know I was with the Lord. I know my eyes, my thoughts were on the Lord. Like I, you know how you ever get like heart to heart with God? And if something breaks that, like you want to strangle somebody? Anyway, I was in the car and I was driving. And you've heard this story probably I don't know how many times. I'm in the car. And I'm in the residential area. And I was coming down, and the road curved. I couldn't see beyond the curve. But I heard a car coming, and I heard that car very, very fast. It was probably a young man, and you could hear his exhaust and everything loud. And it was I couldn't see it. But one split second, it was coming, and it was going to hit me. It was a narrow road, and it curved, and I went into somebody's driveway really, really fast, and the car went past me. That was God. I know that was a God moment. But I had been worshiping in the car. There's that connection, right? Then another time, when I lived in North Babylon, Deer Park Avenue. I was coming to a light on Deer Park Avenue. And it was red. And I heard accident, just like that. So I took my foot off the gas, put my foot on the pedal, and I slowed down and I stopped. The three cars in front of me, boom, boom, hit each other. There was an accident, and I just went around it. There's a dwelling place that we have to live in moment by moment. We dwell with the Lord. There is a place that you have to guard and that keeps you calm, safe, and that keeps that fire inside of you going. There is a place, and the Lord would say, enter into my rest. Because that's what that place is, total rest. And you know Christmas is coming, and you're thinking about this one and that one, and oh, I went there, and they have one, and I'm going to, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and craziness, and, you know, if we are getting frustrated, we're getting annoyed, or we feel pressure, or we have fear, you're not in that dwelling place. We've got to dwell there, stay there, remain there, and that place will become so rich to us, so available to us, and so precious to us. He's calling us. I believe he's calling the church, enter into my rest. Don't worry about anything. That's where I am. It's my rest. Enter into me. I will give you rest. We will be protected in that place when our minds are on him. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So when we're, our minds are on him and we're living in that resting place, I'm telling you people, most of us don't know how to rest in the Lord. We don't. Some of us have a hard time falling asleep at night, or when we wake up in the morning. We've got bills to pay with whatever the situation is. And the Lord is saying, enter into my rest. That's where the miracles are. I consider that a miracle. What happened to me? Accident. Put my foot on the brake. I slowed down. Boom, boom, boom. Cars in front of me. That's the secret place of the Most High. I'm not always in there. But I'm crying out to God because that's where I want to live. The secret place of the Most High. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. You know, some people, the Bible says, trust in chariots. Some trust in this, trust in that. But I trust in the Lord thy God. Amen? I'm putting my trust in God. But wait, Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I'm going to go to Isaiah 40. Going the wrong way. To just take a better look at that. Comfort my people. Prepare the way. Make straight in the desert the highway of our God. That's where the gentleness of the Lord and the rest of God is. And verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out the host number by number. And then down in in 28, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now we know that that we're going into difficult times, but they that put their trust in the Lord, that walk with the Lord, that wait on the Lord, there's a renewed strength. And it is in the resting place. The resting place. Like when I had the threat of, you know, of cancer, and I knew it was cancer and everything, I would go in and out of that place. But boy, when I would get in that place, I knew that God was changing me for the rest of my life. I knew it. I knew it was so pivotal that God was doing something. Because God, you are my God. And if you're allowing this, you're going to bring fruit. If I allow you to bring fruit from this. It's my mindset, Lord God. My heart is set on you, but my mind was all over the place. It was all over the place. And then I would be able to zero in. I would be able to focus. And then I would feel him again and I would say, I know it's going to be all right. You know? But then I go food shopping, come back, and I'm all jittery again. God wants us steady, firm, and he's going to do it. It's the secret place of the Most High. Abide in me, and I in you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings like eagles, to fly high. It's don't look down here. Look up and fly high like an eagle. That's where your thoughts should be, above all of this, above it, and look up at him. What are you doing, Lord? How can I work with you? You understand what I'm saying? We get caught up in the natural, and we've got to take our eyes off the details. Luke 21:28 says, look up. Lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Look up above all of this that's going on down here. Even in your own circle, look up above it and you're going to see God is about to work. How much time do we have before the rapture takes place? What do you think? 10 years? 12 years? 20 years? 8 years? 4 years? What do you think? Hmm? I can't hear you.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. 10 minutes. Is it going to happen while we're sleeping? While we're resting? God wants us to walk in rest. He's calling his church. You will not be as influential. You will not be as powerful unless you know the rest of the Lord. Will we make it to the end, or will we lose faith? The Bible says many will lose faith. Will he find faith on the earth? The Bible says. Faith is our ticket to heaven. All aboard. God has such a precious love for all of us. How could we describe God's love? Well, the description was his son hanging on a cross. But I mean, in the Father's heart, God is love. And to walk in that love, to wake up in the morning and to realize and receive the love of God. We all know God loves us, but do you really feel it? You do? Some of us do? Really feel that love at times? See, that's the resting place that God is calling us to. When David, King David, came to a very, very deep valley in his life, God was still his glory. God meant more to him than all the riches of the earthly kingdom he had. It was a precious love that he was receiving from the Father, that he developed the way to know it and entered into the rest of the Lord out in the field when he would play his little instrument with the sheep. And he carried it. But there were times that he lost it. Because if you read everything that David went through, it was like, where's that place? Where's that safe place? There's a disconnection there. We understand he fell into sin. Even killed a man. And God took his baby. He cried out for his baby. Don't let my baby die. And that baby died. It was like that pain had a cover, that the Lord came down and started working on David. But God, I believe, showed David, as he is showing each one of us, his priceless love, his precious love for all of us. God is love. There was no man to really encourage David. And guess what? He couldn't look up scriptures like we do. We can find a scripture. We can hold on to that scripture. We could pray that scripture through. We could feel God when we read the word. He didn't have that. And God just kind of backed off, right? But there was no one or nothing that could encourage him. But God himself would encourage him. God is the lifter of our heads. He will lift our heads when things are too heavy, when things are sad, when things are going wrong, because he will come. And what I'm saying is that place that I'm talking about, we have lifted heads to the Lord. And it makes that connection. We lift up, forget about all this junk down here. Forget about anything or everything that's going wrong around you. Forget about it and look up. That is the most holy place. That is the place of protection. That is the place where he hovers and covers when you look up. But when we're looking down at all those things that are happening, all those things that are going wrong, when we're looking at that, we're taking ourselves out from his shadow of his wings. When David cried out, God heard him from his holy hill. And I'm going to look up a scripture in Psalm 116. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Here is verse 3. This is Psalm 116, verse 3. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pains of hell laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. He's saying, deliver my mind, deliver my will, deliver my emotions, deliver my soul. In verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple and was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Return to your rest. So that's what I'm talking about. There's a resting place that God has created for each one of his children. And when you put your eyes on negative things, we come out of that place. But there is a place. It's a holy place. It's a place of refuge. But it's a place where God builds us back up again, ministers to us, because we're his children. It is our safe place is only found in God and God alone. I can go to my husband, and my husband may minister to me and you know, and talk to me, and 5 minutes later, I could feel just as bad as I did before. But in that resting place, to find the rest that God has for us, and to get into that place. Money can't buy it. It'll get us through the darkest times, I'm telling you. It'll get us through the darkest times. He felt, David felt such pressure. Men were hunting him down to murder him. His kingdom was, his throne was overthrown. His kingdom was taken from him. Friends and family turned against him. And what was God doing in this time? What was God doing? You're pretty strong in the Lord. You think you're pretty strong in the Lord. That's because of everything you went through up until now and when God was with you. When we are faced with tremendous trials and tribulations in our life, we often find ourselves struggling to eat or sleep to the point that affects our health and we become weak. And David cried out and said, I'm so weak, because physically he was just being drained because of the torment. When we can't eat because we're all upset, or we can't sleep because we're upset, we're not in the resting place. Clearly, we're not. We've got to get back there. Look up. Look over the situation. Look over the details. Look over what happened, or the fear of what's going to happen. Look over it. Look up. Look above. Look at God looking down at you, eyes to eyes, and know that he is with you, and know that he's going to work it out for you. You are his child. And that's a guarantee. But when we become weak, or we can't eat, and we can't sleep, the enemy loves that. And he's ready to tear into you even more. You're not in that holy place. He won't go to that holy place when you go there. Absence of the enemy. Rest is what God gives us when we look up. Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you who are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Godly rest. Take my yoke, Jesus said, and learn from me. I will give you rest. When I come and I walk through your battles with you, the burden is light. But so often we leave him behind and our minds get involved in details and it looks scarier and scarier and darker and darker. The place of rest is found when you pray for something that's heavy on your heart and all of a sudden you get the feeling it's done. That's the place of rest. It's done. God heard my cry. Now worship. And when I was going through the breast cancer, I finally reached a place of rest. I reached a place of rest. And I would go every day for how many weeks? Huh? 33 radiation therapy, 33 visits. And I would be in total rest. I got over that mountain. God took me over that mountain. I looked at him and I knew we're going to be all right. But everywhere I would have to wait in a waiting room and I would look at everybody else's faces. And I didn't think I was doing anything for anyone. I wanted to. But you know what? Even our presence when we're in a place of rest touches others. And the last day of treatment, it was all this group that I was in, was all of our last day. And this woman said to me, I'm going to miss you. I said, oh, I don't remember really ministering to her. I think it was God's rest on me that she didn't have. And then one of the nurses called me in to her office, and I went in, and she wanted to give me this little pin. She says, every once in a while, I give this pin to somebody, and I wanted to give it to you because you've helped so many people. I didn't. I really didn't. What was that? That's the resting place. When we live, we walk in the resting place. People see it, and they're drawn to it, and there's something they know. There's something that they want that they don't have. You know what I'm saying? And when you go there, it's a busy, you've got to go in a little cubicle and get undressed and put the gown on, and they call you, and then you go in and you get on the table. And I had three people all the time, it was the same three people this whole group had, and they would make sure you were lined up perfectly for the radiation and all of that. And you didn't get a chance to talk to anybody. They were very nice, but you didn't get a chance to talk to anybody. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm here for a reason. The very last day, it was over, 33 treatments, the very last day, the nurse, it was a female nurse and two male nurses that would set me up and do the radiation. She came to me, and I said to her, because she had asked me something while I was on the table, and they, you know, and I had said, my husband and I are pastors. We're born again. I don't think we were pastors. We were, okay. And anyway, she came to me at the very, very end. We were all leaving. We were not going to see each other anymore. And I got 5 minutes with her to tell her about the Lord, that nurse. She accepted the Lord. She said, wait till I go home and tell my husband this, because this is just what we've been looking for. She said, I know it. And it's because I was so broken, but God came and brought me to a resting place. I was not resting before then, but he put me in a resting place. You understand what I'm saying? There's a place that is set aside for us with such provision. We have to learn to lift up our heads, lift up our eyes above all the junk, and look at him. Don't cast your eyes on the situation or what might be or what might happen. Now, I'm saying we're intelligent people, and we have to be intelligent people, and I understand that. But you know what I'm saying? Don't go to a degree that's going to bring upset. You know, it's going to stir you up, make you worry. If we do that, we're not in that resting place. We're not in that resting place. We can't think what might be or what might happen. Look up, for the Lord himself will look down at you. Psalm 91, even the Most High, he's above everything. Lift up your eyes. The King of Glory is with you. The upright will see his face. Lift your eyes to heaven. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. The Most High is your dwelling place where you rest. He is above all and beyond all. Amen? You know, the final prophecies in the Word of God, the final prophecies are ahead of us, being fulfilled around the world. Putin is a threat, and he's threatening a nuclear threat to the United States. End time prophecies being fulfilled so quickly. Bible scholars are beginning to wonder if Putin is the aggressive prince prophesied in Ezekiel that will lead the invasion against Israel. People are believing this. It's close. Is the Russian and Ukraine war the beginning of the end? It's not over. And the Gog and Magog war? People are believing it. Scholars are believing it. End time war before Jesus returns. The final invasion is being planned before the Lord comes back and stops it all. Glory to God. Gog is a man, when we read about Gog, a prince who rules, a political figure with strong authority. Magog is a land. Gog is a man. Magog, when you read the scriptures and you want to know more, look up things if you're interested in it. So the Magog, or Gog, the man, is about to come on the scene. Everything is set up like never before. Russia is leading a coalition to strike against Israel. End time prophecy. Things are heating up. The Antichrist, is he amongst us? Things are heating up. Could all be God's final chapter? Israel, Russia, and Islamic nations are aligning themselves. But look up. Keep your eyes on God. There is no greater cause than winning the lost, especially in this hour. Every human being on the face of the earth has a soul. Every soul will be placed somewhere for eternity. We must become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He's everything. Amen? Take the gospel and make it simple. Share it. Make it simple. And the effects will be profound. Because I'm telling you, God has worked on the harvest, the end time harvest. And I'm telling you that they are ready. The harvest is ready. Everybody is somebody to Jesus. Amen? Every soul. The Holy Spirit is making people ready to accept the Lord. He's working on them. People outside of God. The Holy Spirit is doing a work, just like he did when he called us. He prepared us. He did a work in us. He made us ripe and ready when we accepted the Lord. Well, he's doing that in the world. You know, I read a story about a young man called Pedro. He went to a crusade, and I'm not sure, I don't remember what crusade it was or the year or even where it was. But this young man went there. And the last night of the crusade, he knelt down and gave his heart to Christ. He had been involved in many murders. And the next day, they found him. It actually was that night or that morning, 5:30 a.m., they found his body. They had killed him. Because his father was a leader in the cartel, and that's what they do. They'll kill their children, you know. But he accepted. That was 5:30 in the morning they found his body. And late that night, at the closing of this crusade, he accepted the Lord, and he cried like a baby. He had killed people. He was a murderer. You see, we all have a sacred calling, each one of us, a Christ-like commitment. When you accepted the Lord, you were making a commitment to be like him. There's no substitute, people, for our prayer life. Wake up. Wake up. There's no substitute for the Bible. Do you open it once a week or every 2 weeks? Or do you just come to church to hear the word? You've got to live in here because this is your food. It's your drink. It's your safety. It's your everything. There's no substitute for fasting. Some things will never happen without fasting. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 17:21, he said, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So if we're not praying and fasting, we're not at our ultimate power. Because it's the prayer and fasting. If we pray and fast for our neighbor next door, and then we share the word with that neighbor, there's going to be more of an anointing, I believe. I don't want to get religious, but I think you understand. Because Jesus prayed and he fasted. We are all warriors for Christ. And the time is coming that no man can work. That's what Jesus said. The time is coming that no man can work. Work now for Jesus. There's going to be coming an hour. It's John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him, Jesus said, that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Wow. Wow. What's going to happen? What's going to cause that? It's interesting. Jesus said it himself. He said, work while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Now is the time while it is still day. Jesus knew the opportunities before him, but he also knew that they were becoming limited. There's no greater cause than to bring a soul to God. One day we will stand in the presence of our Savior. May you hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. His own voice, his own words, looking at you. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Would you stand with me, please? Father, you have called us to this hour, Lord God, and may we wake up in it, because we become so entangled with human affairs. But Lord God, may we wake up, Lord God, wake up and know that we have an anointing. We have an anointing. When the Spirit of God came inside of us, the anointing, the power, anointing of the Holy Ghost to break yokes over people. Father, we don't want to get caught outside of the resting place that you have provided for us. We don't want to be there, Lord God, floundering there, worrying there, trying to sleep it off. No, we want to be alive and active and sharp like a two-edged sword. Father, I ask for compassion. I ask, Lord God, for deep compassion for unsaved people. For people, Lord God. We know that in certain places of the world, like China, the people there that accepted your son had to go into basements, had to find shelter. And they are so many, 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 many. Some days they don't eat. Some days they eat a little. But they just keep on praying. They are praying. They're praying for the rest of the world. Thank you for those prayers. In the spirit, I say thank you. Thank you. You're hidden. You've been hiding because others, their heads were chopped off. But you found a hidden place. And you're not in that hidden place. I don't believe they're in that hidden place. I believe they're in a resting place, in a hidden place. Because they are in the center of God's will. And how could they not feel that? How could they not be encouraged by that? I believe that they feel the power of their own prayers leaving their bodies and going forth. Awaken us, Lord. I ask you, God, that we would live in the resting place you have provided for us, under the shadow of your wings. We would live there. We would be strengthened there, not worry about what we're going to eat or drink or what we're going to wear, but anything, Lord God, that is in this world. But that, Father, we would be so focused, Lord God, so focused, Lord God, that when we are praying, we can feel the power leaving our bodies. Jesus said there'll be a time when no man can work. But God, you've called us to this time. You've awakened us. May we fulfill the calling on our lives, but not that we get nervous about it or anxious about it or worried or fearful. No. To learn, to live, walk, breathe, eat, sleep in your resting place. You have provided a place right here on earth for your children. And it's holy. It's holy. It's such an anointed place. Your voice becomes clearer in that place. We understand our commission in that place. And the attachment with your love and our love attached, our love for you, your love for us attached, that we are walking with energy, with power, with anointing, with a mandate, fulfilling all that you have for us. So wake us up, Lord God. Wake us up that we are so happy. The church in the book of Acts, they were very happy. They were fulfilled. Fulfilled. They got together. They sang songs. They reached. They went into the darkest places. They could have been killed, tortured, slaughtered, whatever. But they just kept going because the joy of the Lord was their strength. And they moved from that safe resting place, from place to place to place. And some of them were killed, martyred, but it didn't matter. Oh my God, that we would be so consumed with what's on your heart. So consumed, God. In the name of Jesus. We don't have to worry about this or that. We don't have to worry about our grandchildren. You'll take care of the rest. If we are in the center of God's will, He will take care of the rest. That's the resting place. Teach us, Lord God. Call us into that place. In Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 If you need prayer, we're happy. We're happy to pray with you if you want to come up for prayer. Thank you, Jesus.